All right. So let me tell you a little bit more about this issue of the missing middle. And Gladys, in fact, brought us an update on this issue. She spoke about the Cape Peninsula University of Technology's Wellington campus having disrupted lectures there. So that's one area in which there's clearly some sort of problem. The academic program at UKZN, the University of KwaZulu-Natal, has also been disrupted. And that's because there were talks between student leaders and management that was supposed to have continued until they'd found a resolution. But it looks as though that those talks actually deadlocked. The university had to go to court. It obtained an interdict. And that's essentially preventing student leaders or students in general from protesting at the institution, particularly after those buildings were burnt down over the last week or so. It's been a really tough start to the year, I think you'll agree. And, you know, UKZN is probably the university where we've seen the most violence, the most unrest in the last few days. But the year started off with the South African Union of Students calling for a total shutdown of universities. And, you know, that was put on hold for a while. We really don't know, to be fair, what the situation is, whether that total shutdown is on hold or whether there's still pockets within universities that have decided they want to continue with this protest or this campaign. But the question arises as to who the missing middle is. And this is so important because in previous years, we were having a conversation about the lowest income earning groups and how they were going to manage to send their children to university. And thankfully, in the last few years, provision has been made through NSFAS in order to be able to do that. So those many of those students are funded. You know, there's money for accommodation, there's money for tuition, there's money for meals and all the rest that students should have as they start a university degree. But unfortunately, there's a group that earns slightly more than that particular group, and they are known as the missing middle. And so without having access to the kind of information or the figures that are required for us to understand who constitutes the missing middle, it's very difficult to have a conversation about what their requirements actually are or how they can be helped. And we thought we'd bring into the conversation Professor Aaron Rensburg, because he's the administrator at the University of Johannesburg or the Vaal University of Technology, actually, I apologize. He's moved to the Vaal University of Technology. And essentially, you know, this is one of the universities that has been looking at who actually constitutes the missing middle and what can be done in terms of organizing bursaries or ensuring that those kids who are excluded from university education, from free university education, are perhaps able to enter the system at some point. So, Professor Rensburg, thank you very much for your time on Afternoon Drive today. We do appreciate it. I want you to please start by explaining to me which students actually fall into this definition of the missing middle.
Good afternoon, Joanne, and thank you very much for this opportunity to contribute to the conversation. So this is the third year, 2020, that we as a country is implementing the new expanded NSFAS arrangement. By that, I mean the floor had been moved from approximately 120,000 family total family income to about 350,000 total family income. So if your total family income then is below 350,000 or below, you would then qualify, subject to the usual checks, for state aid. I just mentioned that in 2020, the total state aid, if we include the colleges, further education and training colleges and universities, that total commitment to through NSFAS is approximately 34.5 billion rand. So you can see there's been a massive step up from previous levels. It was sitting in the region of about 5, 6 billion. We're now speaking of public funds, public taxes to the extent of 34.5 billion this year alone going in. And we expect that number to rise to close to 50 billion during the course of the medium-term expenditure framework. And so back to your question. So family income up to 350,000, that is quite a high cutoff. and then the missing middle. Sit between 350,000 and 1 rand and 600,000 rands. The first thing that the state has done is, I guess, to negotiate a national arrangement amongst universities and colleges in which fee increases are capped. So, for example, the tuition fee increase is capped at 5.4%, again for this year, same as last year, and the accommodation or residence fees increases capped at 7.4%. Now, I don't want to go into the impact of that on universities because that's not the purpose of today's discussion, is it? It is really about what measures are universities and the state putting in place to manage the escalation in fee costs. You might be aware, listeners might be aware, that part of the reason for Fees Must Fall was that in the 10-year period leading up to Fees Must Fall in 2015, university fees had doubled over that period. But I suggest that perhaps on another occasion you may want to explore that topic again. And so returning then to our conversation, the first measure has been to cap tuition and residence fee increases. The second measure that a number of universities have implemented, and I'm now aware that it is being coordinated by University of South Africa, is to engage various CETAs, or sector education and training authorities, the purpose of which is to mobilize additional resources, in particular for missing middle students and for students who now find themselves having fallen outside of the NSFAS regulations. Regrettably, we do have students who, for a range of reasons, did not meet those requirements, the academic requirements to progress. Yes. NSFAS, for example, has a cap that says we will support you for the minimum period of that program plus 1 year. If you're outside of that period, you're on your own. And you can imagine these are students from families who have not been able to and are simply not able to support them. They've now fallen outside of those rules, yes, academic progression rules, and we have to also prioritize them alongside the missing middle to mobilize then additional resources. The University of Johannesburg recently had a really excellent yield in that regard. Over a period of 3 years, for example, between 2015 and 2017, it had raised in excess of 300 million rands from the sector education and training authorities and from other state organs, and that enabled it to support thousands of missing middle students.
Right. So. Yes, yes. I just want to ask how many successful applicants fall into this group, the missing middle?
So if you think of this, let's go to the first group, so those qualifying for state aid through NSFAS. Here we're speaking of approximately 60%. Of the enrollment in our undergraduate programs. I think that's another important point to make, that NSFAS in the first instance supports undergrad programs. And so if you think of the university system of just around a million students, we're speaking of between 55% and 60% of students qualifying for state aid through NSFAS.
This conversation is just getting a little bit confusing because we keep referring to the NSFAS group. So our conversation for the purposes of this interview is about the missing middle.
Sure.
And I'm just really trying to get to the heart of how many of those applicants fall into that category and therefore still have no funding.
So outside of the NSFAS group of 60%, 55-60%,
yes,
we have an additional 20-25% of students who sit in the so-called missing middle category. And if we look at the system as a whole, we're speaking of anything between 200 and 250,000 students who would fall into that category. And of course, we know missing middle really means families who are unable to find commercial loans from banks,
right,
or student loans from banks in order to support their children or students in the system. So in terms of numbers, between 200 and 250,000 if we only speak of the university system.
Right. Prof, just explain one thing to me, please. I mean, these figures you've given me of the missing middle comprising that group between earning between 350,000 and 600,000, is that their gross family income?
So that would be total family income. Everyone who is having an income in that family, that is added up, and we then end up at either the cutoff of 350, or we find ourselves between 350 and 600, or in the case of the remaining 10 to 12%, we find ourselves above the 600,000 rand.
Right. Okay. So this is interesting. I mean, if you work it out on the, say, 350,000 rand category, those families are earning on average 29,000 rand before tax. You know, the 600,000 group is earning roughly 50,000 before tax. But give me a sense of this. I mean, in the past, you've mentioned those are the sorts of people who would have been expected to go to a bank and say, you know, I qualify for a home for a loan. Why is it not possible for me to secure a personal loan in order to be able to fund my child's studies? What are the obstacles to that, Prof?
I think typically, Joanne, it is the case that our families are enormously overburdened with debt. I think the annual statistics that come out in that regard bears this out. And so we typically our families sitting in that 350 to 600,000 category find themselves battling to manage a combination of home loans, motor vehicle financing, credit card of management, and credit cards typically have become a means of financing the critical other basic needs inputs such as transport, fuel costs, such as food costs, and even the cost then of two children. One might be at a high school at a cost of 40,000 a year, and the other one might be at a university at the cost of, if we just think tuition, of 40,000 rands as well a year. And so if you begin then to add up those numbers, let's assume let's even work on a million rands home loan.
Yes.
We're speaking, I'm just thinking aloud, a million would be probably 7,000-8,000 a month. I'm just estimating roughly.
Nice.
That's after tax again. And then you add in a motor vehicle possibly with insurance at another 4,000-5,000. Again, after tax. So you're already sitting at 12,000-13,000 rands after tax. You then make arrangements with a university and a high school to pay off, let's say, the 80,000 debt. On over a 10-month period, so that's another 8,000 rand, and this excludes uniform and books in the case of schools. It excludes transport costs in the case of universities. So if you just think about it, if you add all of these numbers up before you can even have a conversation with your banker, you find yourself unable to finance the additional costs.
Right.
I don't know if that...
Yeah, that certainly gives us a very good picture, Professor Rensburg, of exactly how families are affected by this. News 24 also adding to that by saying that it is often the children of civil servants who are unable to access university because of these expenses, which I think Professor Rensburg has set out very, very clearly for us. So what is the answer? Is it a case of universities fundraising, as many of them have? Is it a case of banks perhaps being slightly more lenient to children who want to invest in their children's education? Perhaps you want to share your thoughts with us on that on 011-883-0702. Professor Aaron Rensburg is Administrator of Vaal University of Technology.